this meeting of the Committee on Budget and Finance to order on Tuesday, May 1st, 2018, at 7 p.m. in room 420 of the Joe Crowley Student Union. Moving to agenda item 2, roll call.
Senator Burton. Senator Fall.
Present.
Senator Grant.
Present.
Senator Green.
Present.
Senator Hudson.
Present.
Senator Hughes.
Present.
Senator Loveland.
Present.
Senator Sewell.
Present.
Senator Yaya.
Absence excuse. All right, moving to agenda item 3, public comment. Is there a public comment this time?
Thank you for agreeing to take this task on for the rest of the Senate. I really appreciate it. And everybody's operating in good faith here, and that's what's needed, right, to get through this process. So good luck.
All right, is there any public comment this time? Seeing none, we will move to agenda item 6, new business. Item A, legislation to review and approve 2018-2019 budget. I'll go ahead and read that legislation to you all. It is titled Senate Bill 86, an act to approve the budget for fiscal year 2019. Be enacted by the Senate of the Associated Students that the budget of the Associated Students for fiscal year 2019 is hereby made effective as set out in the attached document of this bill, the ASUN operating budget fiscal year 19. I am seeking a motion to recommend favorably Senate Bill 86, an act to approve the budget for fiscal year 2019. Senator Hudson?
I favorably recommend Senate Bill 86, an act to approve the budget for fiscal year 2019.
Is there a second? Senator Hughes?
Second.
All right. Is there any discussion? I will turn the time over to President Jackson to present the proposed budget to us all. And I highly encourage you guys to go down along to ask any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you for having me. Well, I first wanted to point out that I'm actually going to request that we amend this by substitution. There's a couple of clerical errors that were adjusted for, and the updated one is in the Nevada box, so no big changes to the actual numbers, but just makes it more transparent. So if you go into the Nevada box in the financial, the justifications folder, it should be in there, and it's in a PDF. So I can give you a moment to do that if you'd like.
Sorry, what is it under again?
It's in the justifications folder.
There are two pages, so you're going to have to hit an arrow to go to the next page.
The fiscal year 19 budget.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. So let me know when you have that. I don't want to rush anyone.
Same. You guys have access to the box.
I have one physical copy right here that you can look at if you'd like. And then also, I'll be going account by account within this presentation, so if you want to follow along on the screen, that's good too.
This is from elections. I don't think it has anything else in it. This is just what I put in. Is this different from the one in here? Also, I'm not saying the right one.
Yeah, there's just a couple of changes.
Oh, okay.
President Jackson, I will be doing this.
All right, are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, so first to provide a little bit of context, as president, I took a conservative approach to the budgeting process this year. So the expected revenue that we allocate based off of is based on headcount enrollment projections. So those numbers are given to us by planning budget analysis. And so given this information, I'm budgeting based on a 0% growth because enrollment is slowing down. We're budgeting with rollover in consideration, and so it's important to note that we still have 2 months left in this fiscal year. So know that it's normal to revisit this budget multiple times throughout the year, but especially in September too. All right, for some general notes, the difference column, which is right on the right, was calculated using the most current fiscal year 18 budget as posted on the ASU1 website. And then the balance forward lines reflect our anticipated rollover from the respective fiscal year 18 accounts. And none of these figures will actually be finalized until the end of July 2018. So this is an estimate right now. The fringe lines below reflect fringe benefits, which is the cost associated with ASU1 share of paying the student employees workers' compensation. So these rates are higher for administrative faculty and staff because of workers' compensation, unemployment, health plans, retirement plans, and Medicare. So here you can see the allocations based on what was that earlier? All right, so moving into the first account, the Budget and Finance Committee. So first, the reserve line reflects the unallocated dollars. It's important to have reserves that's usually around this range in order to accommodate for any fluctuation between the rollover and credit enrollment that has been projected. And for the past two fiscal years, ASUN has contributed $15,000 to the TEDx University of Nevada event in order to sponsor student tickets. This line item and this money has been traditionally taken out of the programming board account, but since they are not planning the actual event, I've decided to take it out of the programming board account and move it into our voluntary transfers. This charge will be reflected on the programming board account too, which we'll see later, but our level of sponsorship this year will be $10,000.
President Jackson?
Yeah.
Senator Green noted this earlier, but I'm not sure that there is a justification posted online or on the box for the Budget and Finance.
There might be now.
Committee. Is there?
I think it's on the second page.
Yeah,
there is.
It's
one.
Probably on the second page. Okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't see that. Thank you.
There you go. Of course. Yeah.
Is there a reason that it's 10,000 instead of 15,000?
Yeah, we had to make some necessary cuts, and this is one of the places. I'm really glad you asked that question. This last year, we didn't sell as many student tickets as we were hoping for, but this, just so you know, the event is usually at the very beginning of the semester, which makes marketing difficult, plus the tickets are usually $30. This next year, the tickets are going to go down in price, and additionally, the event will be later in the year, which will give us more time to market, so we're hoping that will be really beneficial for students, and that our sponsorship will help that student ticket price go down so more students can experience and be part of that event. All right, back at Senate. All right, so student wages for the ASUN Senator, so you all are based on the cost per credit hour for a total of 6 credits. So as the cost per credit hour goes up, so do the wages. Currently, we have 2 legislative clerks, one of which is Maria Rose, who is our archivist. What they've been doing over the past couple years is they've been archiving all of the legislation and all of the different agendas from all the past Senate sessions. They were behind a lot of years, but this year that they're actually caught up on all that stuff. So we don't need that position anymore, so there will only be 1 legislative clerk, which you can note the difference right there. And for the ASUN secretary wages, the change is due to a correction in the math on the wage detail that's found in the budget justifications. We move into executive board. So the host and operating lines that are in orange delineate an organizational separation, as you can see. So there was an error in the old spreadsheet that had dollar figures on those lines, so just taking those out and noting the difference on there. And then the PAC Internship Grant Program Reception is an event that we've done the last couple of years, but it hasn't really had a specific allocated amount of dollars for, so just to keep consistency, we put in that line item into this account as well. Going into the Biggs Little Festival, again, making these necessary cuts, I've decided to decrease the operating line by $2,880. Last year, the event was only for university students, but with future plans to sell tickets to alumni community members, the revenue line will be increasing by $35,000.
Yes. Sorry, can we just go back? So why did the operating cost double for the executive board?
So it didn't actually double. It's kind of a reallocation of, when I talked about those orange lines, let me go back. There used to be numbers inside of like this host part and this operating part. So it's really just putting it backward.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you for asking that too, because I know that that sticks out.
To clarify that Senator Sewell, I think last semester there may have been an error. When the chairman was making changes to the line items.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I think everything might have gotten pushed up, which is why you do see that so much money right there.
Mm-hmm. So. Thank you. Great. We'll move on to elections. So as you know, the 85th session has moved the position of elections chair as part of a student staff member of the Center for Student Engagement. So those wages will be reflected in the Center for Student Engagement account, which we'll go over later. But given this new role, I've moved the voter initiatives line into this account. And so this $3,500 will pay for the renewal of a voter engagement software, such as the one that we currently use, which is TurboVote. Going into the contingency fund, this is just something that we have in the Treasury bill. It's Title 6, Chapter 603 of the Statutes of the Associated Students. The fund just consists of 2.5% of the total anticipated student fee revenue for the fiscal year. All right, going into Insight Magazine. Yes?
Sorry, can you just explain a little bit more about what that fund is for?
The contingency fund?
Yeah.
So that's... if we ever get into a place where, you know, we have our big bank of all of the general revenues that come in, if there's not enough money in that account, that it can dip into the contingency account. Yeah. Did I frame that correctly, Director Rodriguez?
Sure.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
for that contingency fund, does it normally just like from history, does that usually just roll over into the next contingency fund year?
I would say yes, but I know Director Rodriguez has a bit more of a historical context.
It has rolled over every year.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Because you all have been very responsible.
Thank you. Move on to Insight. So the student wages and the student publications accounts, this being one of them, were rounded up to allow for a little bit more flexibility, but still sticking with that proposed allocation. One thing that Vice President Bradley has been doing over these last couple weeks is having discussions with all the different editors of the student publications, many of which have expressed that they didn't want to be expected to raise revenues, which is why we changed their revenue line, and the difference is noted here. So when you take money out of their revenue line, if they're not expected to raise that much money, we just took that money out of their operating, so they basically have the same amount of funds. It's just that expectation to be able to raise money is a little bit different. Going into the brush fire, they don't have a revenue line, but wages again were rounded to provide for additional flexibility. Moving into the programming board account, the operations line was decreased by $4,000. Again, like we talked about before, TEDx has been moved to voluntary transfers within the budget and finance account. And then given the increased revenue line in the Biggest Little Festival account, the general programming board revenues line was decreased by $20,000. So moving on to the ASU and Center for Student Engagement. So one of the biggest changes in the Center for Student Engagement budget this year has been the changes in salaries. This last year, we've not had all the positions in the professional staff filled, but it will change with this coming fiscal year. So the increase that's shown is a 2%, but as well as the fact that all positions will be filled this next fiscal year. If the positions are not filled by July 1st, the money will revert back to the reserves line. Although the elections chair is now under the Center for Student Engagement, the wages have only increased by $796, and this was accomplished by reducing the wages in the accounting office and some of the front desk staff. So the average university budget allocates 75% to 80% in salaries and fringe benefits, leaving 20% for programs and services. But something that's really cool about ASUN is that we spend less than 33% on our budget on salaries and fringe benefits, leaving over 66% of our budget for programs and services, which I think we should all be very proud of. It's a really cool thing. So you'll see a large difference in the fringe line for professional and classified staff, and this is because the state of Nevada is now paying a larger share of the fringe benefits for all Nevada System of Higher Education professional and classified staff. Our current staff member, who's currently considered a classified employee, was hired on December 15th, and so the allocation of these additional dollars will accommodate their full year's worth of salary. On top of cuts that have already happened in this fiscal year, the operating budget for the Center for Student Engagement was cut. Moving on to Inkblot Promotions, as necessary cuts had to be made, like I've been saying, staffing in Inkblot Promotions will be reduced by one position. After speaking with Amy Kokas, she said that this was perfectly acceptable. Moving on to Legal Services, the budget for Legal Services remains status quo from the previous fiscal year. Wolfpack Radio, again, having conversations with the editors of the different student publications, Vice President Bradley recommended that we take away that revenue line and reflect that change in the operating account, and then again, wages were rounded to provide for flexibility. Moving on to leadership programs. So the host for the ASUN leadership conferences and meetings was reallocated towards the ASUN retreat line, which is earlier on in the budget. The Gender, Race, and Identity Conference is not in existence at this time and hasn't been. And I've allocated an extra $7,000 into the development programs operating, as well as kept the host line for development programs status quo. So the vision for this line item is really the iLead conference that we were talking about. So if we want to make it bigger and better, bring in a speaker, do a really cool community service project, this is where it would come from. And the conference would, not the conference, but the speaker would be available to all students, or a large-scale community event that would involve a lot of different people, as Director Bittar was discussing in his approval nomination. Yes?
It looks like last year's budget, or I guess this year's Gender, Race, and Identity Conference allocated $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're just not allocating anything to that?
Yeah, the event didn't occur.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Would that have gone into like diversity and inclusion? Like,
go ahead, yeah, I can answer. The last 2 years, this last year, Precious, and then the year before, I think it was Gabe who was in charge of diversity and inclusion. Rather than create a whole different conference, they opted to work with the Northern Nevada Diversity Summit, which happens twice a year, once in Southern Nevada and once in Northern Nevada. So it made more sense just to step in and work with a conference that was already in place rather than to spend dollars creating a whole different conference.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Claire. Moving on to diversity and inclusion budget. So previously, this department only had a budget or a line item that was called diversity outreach, where all of their hosts and all of their operating came out of. So I've allocated an extra $3,000 so they can use those funds for their hosts and spend their operating on other projects. I've also added a travel line. We're unable to fund that this year, but my hope for the future is that they'll have dollars to be able to go to conferences and other travel needs that they would have for their department. Moving on to clubs and organizations. This remains mostly unchanged, other than the fact we had this discussion in Senate, but I've allocated for the increase in pay for the assistant director of clubs and organizations, and this budget will allow the Senate to take legislative action on this change if they choose to do so. Sound lights and resources. So the sound and the, yes.
So I know that Luke Bittar talked about how they don't use they allocate money for club funding, but they don't ever actually end up using that much. So like, how is that, how much has been used in the past?
That's all in the budget justifications.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, sound, lights, and resources budget that was actually cut the last fiscal year, and it appears that this cut was appropriate, so we're staying status quo from that last year. The judicial council budget remains unchanged from the previous fiscal year. And new student initiative. So this is a lot of what we use during when we participate and help out with new student orientation during the summer. So the big change is that gift card line. So at orientation, we usually do a workshop presentation with both students and parents that come through. At the end of the presentation, we do a raffle that has to do with our tech service. If someone signed up for the tech service, they get put into this raffle, and then someone in the room will win a $50 gift card to the Nevada workshop. But a couple things changed this last year. So last session, Senator Busman worked to make our tech service opt out. So most students are already signed up for the service unless they designate that they don't want to be part of it. And then orientation too, as we've been talking about, is going to be changing within this next year. We will not have these workshop sessions for students, but we will have them for parents. So we want to work with this by reducing it by $5,000 and still having that $1,500 to be able to find a creative way that we can still give away gift cards to parents during these workshops, which will still help us promote the use of the Nevada workshop. Moving on to academic initiatives. So the ASUN Academic Banquet has not existed for 2 years, so keeping that at zero. We have not seen an increase, we have seen an increased usage of fat provisions, which is why the food pantry line is increased, but we've also seen an increase in outside financial contributions to fat provisions, which is why we've projected more revenues to use for that service. Going into Blue Crew, so as you know, the 85th Senate session dissolved the Department of Blue Crew and reallocated its responsibilities, and so this difference is noted here. Moving on to Legislative Affairs. So I want to address this right off the bat where it says assistant directors and the negative $12,000. What had happened is previous budgets had just had all of the positions, excluding the director, within kind of a lump line item that just said assistant directors, parentheses, five. But for transparency reasons, I think that we should delineate each different position and how much that they're paid. So that change is just reflected there, but you can see the differences. And when you look at the bottom, the only difference is like what I talked about earlier with taking out that voter registration initiatives and moving it up into the elections account. And then the undergraduate research journal. So the undergraduate research journal budget remains unchanged. And if you look at the budget justifications, you can see all the students that have applied for undergraduate research and all the information about the journal itself. Campus Escort. So we agreed to decrease student wages because of the new shuttle routes that will increase efficiencies within Campus Escort. So that's why you'll see the decrease there. And that's it. I'd love to take questions. Yeah.
Now we'll move to questions for President Jackson. I know that was a lot to take on, guys. If you guys need to take some time to think of some questions on Saturday.
So you talked about moving the voter registration initiatives from Legislative Affairs to elections.
Yeah.
So is Legislative Affairs still going to be, like, are they going to be running the voter registration initiatives, or is the elections chairman? Like, who's?
Not as much. We've seen an increase of the Center for Student Engagement doing a lot of work with voter registration and voter engagement initiatives. And my vision for Legislative Affairs is to work more on that actual engagement process. So things like getting students down to the legislature, getting them educated about the candidates that they're voting for, but a lot of those voter actual registration initiatives will now be housed under the Center for Student Engagement with the election of the account being moved up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then when we moved that into the elections, instead of it being $2,500, it's raised to $3,500?
Yeah. Why? Thank you for noticing that. That's actually because the voter engagement software TurboVote usually is $2,500, but now it's $3,500. Yes.
I just have a question about BLF. So you said we're opening it up to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we cut operating costs? Because we're gonna make more. So
You got it exactly.
Community tickets are double the price.
Oh, okay.
And I want to be clear, because I don't want Dr. Marzinski hearing while saying we're selling food. We're opening it up to alumni. And that's very important because alumni don't leave your institution. You're not going to come here and make a mess of it. Okay? That's a big difference than randoms just walking in.
I might have missed this, but why was there a $4,000 cut in the student wages for Campus Escort?
So that's just one of the necessary cuts that we've had to make, but we hope that as these dollars come in, when students are registering for classes and they're enrolling, that we'll be able to cover those.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know if I can speak like directly to you, but another thing is they're changing the bus routes. So the Campus Escort is changing kind of what it's doing, and it's not starting until later, so there's, instead of starting at 8 p.m., I think it's starting at 10 p.m., so they don't have to account for paying those people to work those 2 hours.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Hannah is the first president to come along in a long time that has to deal with a zero growth budget. Okay? So what I did is I told her, look, before you start cutting like programming boards and diversity and inclusion, why don't you let me go in and see what I can cut from the programs and services that you fund through the Center for Student Engagement. Why? Because we have economies of scale working to the advantage of those programs. So, yes, I purposefully went in and said, look, we've looked at InkBlot, we've looked at Campus Escort. Why don't you go in and cut those areas, and that'll relieve you from pressure from cutting, like, you know, the other areas.
I'm sorry, I totally missed this, but you said that the Blue Crew money was being reallocated where again?
Not the money, the job duties and the positions.
And then was the money just going back to the reserve?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was reallocated in a bunch of different places. Okay. It wasn't really clear cut where all that went.
Gotcha.
Yes. So I'm looking at programming board, and there's 8 programmers allocated, but with that math, it should really be $34,000 instead of $28,000 because we're compensating for 8 programmers total plus 2 assistant directors. So 8 programmers making $3,000 a year, assuming is $24,000, and adding the 2 assistant directors each earning $1,000 a year.
I think there should be 6 programmers.
But in the SAS, it says that programming gets up to 8.
Up to 8. So as the president, she can decide that she only wants to have 6 programmers with the programming board. That's part of her budget proposal. So that's one of the things. If you all decide that you want to have 8 programmers, but before you do that, you may want to talk to the director of programming. So, yeah. But you're right, that number, I think, is supposed to be 6, not 8.
It actually, it should be 8.
It should be 8?
Mm-hmm.
Director,
Yes.
In the past, it has been 6, but it should be 8.
Oh, so you upped it.
And just so you are aware, you will be reviewing 8 programmers. I did decide with the added amount to appoint 8 individuals, so oversight will be reviewing them on Monday, so if approved, that will affect the budget.
Wait, doesn't she already account for 8?
One moment.
It currently is accounted for 6 programmers plus 2 assistant directors. Because assistant directors each make $5,000, and then added with the $18,000 for student programmers, that equals 28. So last year, Director Canal only decided to appoint 6. Yes.
But besides the Sustainable Nevada Initiative Fund, is the Director of Sustainability able to dip into the operations account for the executive board?
Of the executive board, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I wasn't able to see the justifications because I can't get into the box, but
yeah.
Could you tell me why legal services is staying the same?
Yeah. Well, one of the things, too, if you got to look at the justifications, we need to remember that there's still 2 months left in the fiscal year, so more. But the budget that we've allocated for has stayed pretty consistent for what that expenditure has been. Yes.
All right, yeah, I also am not able to get into the box, but the assistant director under the clubs and organizations, you said that it was increasing $2,000. Why again?
So it's my understanding that originally when this legislation went through to create the assistant director position, because they used to be the financial person within the department, but then they took on more job duties and more roles, that assistant director was supposed to get that pay increase, but it was never reflected in the SAS, and I know this is something that we were talking about, so if the Senate did want to take legislative action on it, I really wanted to allocate that money for that to happen.
Okay.
Yes.
What was the reason for the increase in the operating budget for the executive department? Was that?
Yeah, so like I talked about, let me go back to it because it's easier to see it.
It's
actually a decrease because, like I talked about, these these orange lines.
Okay.
What had happened with the last fiscal year is there was actually dollar amounts in here, which is incorrect. So that was just an error on the spreadsheet. So moving that money where it actually belongs into the operating account.
Okay.
And it's actually a decrease in the amount of money that's in there,
okay.
Even though it looks like an increase.
Okay.
Yeah, so thanks for pointing that out.
So why was there a decrease then?
Just having to
just
make necessary
just make,
funds.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, I got you.
So going back to the programming.
Yeah.
Is that something that we will have to talk about in Senate meeting tomorrow? Of adjusting that to fit in the 8 programmers? Or talking about whether or not we will accept 8 programmers. Is that what's happening?
Oh, it's not agendized for the Senate meeting tomorrow, if that's what you're asking, but it's definitely a conversation that we need
not.
To have. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So on the executive board, there is money allocated to the Director of Sustainability and the Director of Campus Wellness.
Yeah.
So pending the upcoming legislation, would you change the budget based on if that there's one position, or what would you do? Like, how would have like the pay difference change?
I can tell you what traditionally has happened in the past is when someone is hired in these specific positions, the Senate will usually say this piece of legislation or this change in positions will come into effect pending the start of the next Senate session. So it would really be up to you all to decide whether or not, and if the department were to be created within this fiscal year, that allocation would have to be made in order to pay those positions.
Okay.
Just for clarification, what was the decrease in the contingency fund for?
So the contingency fund is just based on the Treasury bill, which says that 2.5%, I'm flipping to where we were. 2.5% of the total anticipated student fee revenue, which is what we projected based on the enrollment numbers. So it's just 2.5% in that. So since the enrollment numbers are lower than last year, that's why the number went down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something?
Yeah.
I don't think Senator Markey's question was completely addressed. So tomorrow you will be considering 8 programmers. You may appoint 8 programmers. Mm-hmm. This budget will not be up for approval until the following Wednesday.
Right.
Between today and tomorrow, there's gonna have to be an adjustment made to the budget.
Yeah.
So she's probably gonna be seeking an adjustment to the budget, which would match having 8 programmers. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
okay.
And one thing that, go ahead.
That's not a general. We're approving or recommending the chief of staff, the
Yeah, those will be agendized for next week. But again, if we still plan on having a budget and finance meeting on Thursday, we can make the necessary adjustments and then recommend to amend by substitution again.
Yeah, they could actually do that today if they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you all could propose an amendment to this budget today to adjust for 8 programmers as opposed to the funding that for 6
mm-hmm.
that was there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's the 6 and the 2 assistant directors.
So if we were to do that, would you take money out of the reserves or would you take it out of somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. It would have to come out of the reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Chair
Grant.
So what's the idea behind the balance forward?
The balance forward is the rollover from the different accounts. So the previous fiscal year, if that money wasn't spent, it goes into this balance forward. So you see the total allocated and the total actual dollars. So you have your allocation, but then you have actually how much is in the account.
Okay, thank you.
To further explain that, so even though, for example, in each lot, you have a $10,000 balance forward, but the total actual dollars is less. It's currently, if I'm wrong, but you're taking less from the bank per se,
mm-hmm.
from the revenue that we're making from student enrollment.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'd like to note too that, you know, this is an estimate and we're not going to know how that is until like the end of June. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Where did you say we were getting more funding from for TEDx?
It's not additional funding. It's kind of confusing because I moved it from, it was originally in the programming board account, but then it got moved up into the voluntary transfer for executive branch. So it's actually a decrease in the amount of money that we're spending on TEDx from a $15,000 to a $10,000 sponsorship, and then it was just moved into different accounts.
Sorry.
What, can you explain the subsidy line in Senator Christine, Senator Christine Nagleton?
Yeah, so some, we're privileged in the way that a lot of our accounts do have post lines in order to like spend money for food and all that stuff, but then other university accounts don't necessarily have that. So this host line specifically is for the Nevada Wolf Shop in order to transfer dollars over into that account and then be able to use that host line.
I'd like to go back to the Student Center for Student Engagement account. I would just like you to clarify a little bit that $48,000 in the professional classified one. You mentioned earlier that the government takes on more of that percentage, essentially, but I think that some of the centers may be confused about that.
Yeah, great. It was an act through this past legislative session. If you have a little bit more detail or...
So the legislature meets only once every 2 years, right? And they enacted a law that came into effect this coming year. So every budget hires professional staff, right? The university provides for them fringe benefits. Workman's compensation, medical, dental, vision, 401k, okay? If the university budget, whether it's the ASUM budget or the Knowledge Center budget, had to pay 100% of that, it would be way larger. The state legislature passes a budget for higher education for the entire state of Nevada. What they did is they upped the percentage that they were willing to pay for the fringe benefits of all professional staff, whether it's faculty, staff, classified personnel, throughout the entire state of Nevada. That came into play this year, or it'll come into play for fiscal year 19. So this lowering of ASUN having to pay this isn't just happening for ASUN, it's happening across the board in higher education. Does that make sense?
So we just have to pay for less of it?
Correct.
So then that extra money, where is that going? Like, well, like that we would have spent towards that, or are we just like holding on to it?
A bunch of different
just
places.
Everywhere? Okay.
Yeah.
And so, well, and it's actually, if you look at the salaries above, remember, there was way less allocated in salaries this year because we didn't have all the positions filled. Well, next year, you're going to have all the positions filled. So if you want to, you can pretend that it went up to fill, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So won't our fiscal year, like if it ends in July, won't our fiscal year be different than the fiscal year for the rest of Nevada, like for that fringe?
It ends in June. The fiscal
July year after this?
Beginning.
Like it's for the state of Nevada?
The entire state of Nevada, system of higher education at least, I believe for the government too, the fiscal year ends June 30th and starts July 1st.
Under that same, like for the Center for Student Engagement, there's a row for student fringe benefits. What do those include? I'm just curious.
That's workers' compensation.
Okay.
So they don't have all the other benefits that professional salaries have, but workers' compensation is what that covers.
And what is travel? Is it, like, what are some of the things that you guys spend money for travel?
So one thing that we do is the CLDE conference is something we travel to, like different conferences.
I just want to be real clear. We don't just travel for the sake of travel. The professional staff travels because they've been invited to present either research that we've been to, publications that have happened, or for this coming year in particular, also we started a NUF program, the NASPA Undergraduate Fellowship Program, where we've recruited 5 students who are interested in working in student affairs. So we're going to find them a mentor out through student services. At the end of the year, there's a national conference. They'll get to travel. Shannon has agreed to pay half of the expenses for that. The other half will come out of this account.
That's
But yeah, no one gets to travel just for the sake of traveling. That's not the way it works.
Senator Hughes.
So I know that when we were going over the CLDE, you guys were talking about taking like money from different accounts. Mm-hmm. So why is that, and like why are there different accounts that we're taking money out of, like versus just ASU and Senate and then Center for Student Engagement, for example?
Great. Well, specifically with Senate, because I did this process last year, sometimes we'll have a lot of money left in wages if we have vacancies left, and we can't really predict for that when people are going to resign or when they're not going to fill those positions. So if we have money left in wages or something, when we want to bring an extra person to the conference, and where this conference falls, it's kind of at the end of the fiscal year, so sometimes we will transfer dollars over into that travel line item in order to take an extra student to the Civic Learning and Democratic Engagement Conference.
But to note that Hannah is now responsible for the executive board account. She has a travel line, right? Senate has a travel line. The Center for Student Engagement has a travel line. If you want to really attribute expenses to the account, to which they belong, then you're going to attribute the travel to each of the accounts, as opposed to saying, oh, let's just blow it off and take it all from Senate. Mm-hmm. That's not accurate.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. To clarify, I was speaking when I was acting as Speaker of the Senate, not as President.
Senator Sewell.
So why did the travel line go up $13,000 for the...
For what you got?
For the Center of Student Engagement.
That was one of the errors that was in this budget.
Okay.
So,
never mind. Disregard.
No, you're okay. I'm sorry. I'm glad that it was fixed and that it was addressed, and I'm glad that you pointed that out. The number that was from the previous fiscal year was incorrect, so it showed that there was like a huge increase, but it really didn't change.
Yes, September.
So, President Jackson.
Yeah.
I just would like just some quick clarification about, you mentioned the changing of the route of Campus Escort. How is it changed so that we can cut money from Campus Escort?
Yeah, so if you want to clarify that.
Actually, Senator Sewell could respond to that.
Okay, so...
She came in and interviewed me for the Center for Student Engagement.
And then we started talking about random stuff.
But the Campus Escort, so instead of just having like them drive people to specific places, they're now just driving around wherever the bus route is. And so the bus is staying out late longer, so instead of ending at 8 p.m., they're going to end at 10 p.m. And then also, instead of driving people out from just like doorstep to doorstep, basically, they're going to have those same routes that the bus does. And so because the students aren't working from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. every single night, that's a lot of hours that you can cut wages because you don't have to pay those times, as well as the fact that they're not driving from place to place. So.
Okay, that's cool.
I have an additional question to that. So Campus Escort will now just be running the bus routes. They won't be taking people to their actual houses.
Right. So Parking Services has decided to run their shuttle. Instead of ending it at 7, they're going to run it till 10 o'clock at night.
Oh.
And so Campus Escort is going to pick it up from 10 to 1 a.m. Gotcha. So now students will have a permanent bus route. And they've actually expanded. It's going to go up Valley Road as well, through Highlands. So it doesn't make sense anymore to use the individual Campus Escort vans to pick somebody up at the university and to drive them across the street to the residence hall. Doesn't make any sense. Now, if you live beyond Sierra, or if you live beyond Valley Road, absolutely, you'll get a ride in a regular Campus Escort van.
But after 10?
No.
Oh.
Starting from 5 or 7, whatever.
Okay.
That was what I was going to say, but yeah, she said it.
Just, sorry, I kind of got a little lost there. For further clarification, are they just going to continue, is that just basically continuing what they're doing now with the express routes, or are they just expanding it more, adding a bigger loop, essentially?
It's the same route, but for longer hours, which means Campus Escort has fewer of the individual rides they need to give. That's where these savings are coming in. We went in, and that's why I told Hannah, you know what, cut the budget here, and halfway through the year, I'll be able to tell you if it's going to have a negative impact. At this point, I don't believe that's going to happen.
Okay. I think the only thing they might have added was Valley Road instead of just Evans.
Right, so yeah, Kim Sesko, from what I take, is known to be doing those short rides just down the street to the Evans.
Well, I was referring to,
right, so that was the issue in the show now. Senator Houston.
What's the host being diversity inclusion for?
So one of the things that we noticed about this past year, because as we know, this department's very new, this budget's very new for that department specifically, that was moved originally. The diversity outreach was within the executive board, and when the department was created halfway through the middle of last year, it was kind of plugged into their account. Most all other accounts have hosts, they have an operating, and they have a travel in order to use, but they just had the diversity outreach. So seeing how they spent their money this last year, I decided to add $3,000 to give them a host line, but they're keeping their operations the same. So it's that still diversity outreach, but now it will just be used for general operations rather than general operations, hosts, and everything within that line, if that makes sense.
And like, what are host fees used for?
That's for food.
Okay.
Yeah. So they can do barbecues, they can do other engagement events that get students out and
So then for the campus escort, because we are decreasing these wages, because we're giving less rides, mm-hmm. why do we not see a reflect in a decrease in gas price and operating cost?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Because gas is going to go up.
Okay.
Okay, have you all been to the pump? Trust me, I put in a certain percent.
Okay.
Not only that, tires, it's really hard wear and tear on these vans. Believe it or not, driving slow and stopping and going a lot really wears on the engine. So gas will go up. Tires we're going to have to change.
More frequently?
No, this year we didn't change as many tires.
Okay.
So remember, it's based on every 5,000 miles. It's kind of hard to get 5,000 miles when you're only going two blocks down the street, right? So we'll be changing tires and then the regular oil change and cleaning up the vans and that kind of thing.
Right. And when the campus escort does the
I would just assume, like, if you're giving less rides, it's going to be a little bit get less gas, but I understand
yeah.
the inflation.
Right. No, yeah. Are there any more questions for President Jackson?
Under new student initiatives, is there a certain department that puts on the barbecue and uses that operating budget, or is that just the center uses that money?
New Student Initiatives uses the Department of New Student Initiatives that's housed under the Dean of Students Office. It's a co-sponsorship.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Vice President is actually
Okay.
So if we wanted to go ahead and amend that, what we were talking about earlier with event programming.
We can amend at the table. Another option too, if this meeting is still on for Thursday, we could work with it for a little bit and then amend by substitution at the table on Thursday if that's what you would be comfortable with. So, options.
Yeah, I would say we push it to Thursday.
Okay.
Senator Green.
Can you clarify what you were talking about right there? Amending which part?
Sorry.
The programming board.
Under
I can explain this too. So in the statutes, it says that there can be up to 8 programmers hired within the programming board. It says programmers with parentheses 8, but that also had been including the assistant directors of programming. So similar to what I was talking about with legislative affairs, it's not all lined up. So I really thank Senator Markley for pointing that out, but that adjustment would just have to be made.
Gotcha.
Are there any further questions for President Jackson? Senator Hughes?
This is kind of a question for you more so, just because there is so much here to like digest. Is that like why you're kind of pushing for us to have a meeting on Thursday as well?
Right, so I would highly encourage us to really kind of sit on this and have some time to think about it. That way, if there is any questions that we have missed, President Jackson puts on Thursday. So if that's something you guys would like to do, I can seek a motion to table the amendment to the present. Senator Burton.
I move to table Senate Bill 86, an act to approve the budget for fiscal year 2019 to Thursday, May 3rd, at our next meeting at 7 p.m.
Is there a second, Senator Fowle?
I second.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the motion carries. We will table the bill to Thursday, May 3rd. Senator Fowle?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Through the chair to President Jackson, will both of you guys be here on Thursday too as well?
Oh.
No, you, okay.
I was like, okay.
Go ahead, Senator.
I just don't have access to any of the justifications.
Because right now, one's going to leave until after the meeting. Because according to Nevada Box, all of you have access right now. That's why we're going to figure this out.
We'll move to agenda item 7, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? All right, seeing none, we will move to agenda item 8, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 7:51.
Yeah.
Yeah.